If we don't praise him in here, we're not going to praise him on a Tuesday. Amen? Thank you, Lord. How many know that we were sinners? Amen? We're sinners falling short daily. And that we need God's salvation. Amen? And you know, when we go through things, sometimes you wonder, where are you, God? But you know what? It's the gift of God to get you through the things. And when God gets you through the thing, you look back and say, God, thank you for the answer that I didn't see coming. Thank you, Lord, that you have a better answer than I have for me. And God opens doors. How many know he opens doors for us? Amen? Amen? How many knows he leads us to places for victory? He leads us to places to have prosperity, for good success. And he closes doors. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, amen, sometimes you get to that door that's closed and you bang on it like it's the last thing. You want that door open. You bang on that door because you think that's the door to go through, and God just holds that door closed. And then you turn to the left. There's a door you walk through and you say, Lord, thank you. I don't know what's behind that door you kept me from, Lord, but thank you that you've got this door. And then you look around and you see the family. You see people ready to lift you up, people ready to help you, people that you didn't know a year ago. Amen. When you go to a church and you get planted in the church and you become a family, you look around and see people who will help you that you did not know in your life 6 months ago. You wonder, you're not alone, and all of a sudden you got somebody say, hey, I can do that for you. I can help you. And it's what changes you. Amen. That's what a church is all about. And give God praise, everybody. Just give him praise. There were all kinds of things that gave their life to God, and they knew they needed God, and they turned to God, and God lifted them up. Amen. Let me tell you what the Bible says God calls you. John, my brother John, he calls you a saint. The Bible, not man. Man will call you anything they want, but God says you're a saint in his eyes. You're one of his children. You don't need anybody giving you a title saying that you're anything different, because God said you're already a saint. And you might think sometimes that God hasn't heard your prayer. You might think that sometimes you got something in your heart and you're saying God's not in. But you know, the answer might be right around you. You might be seeing something one way, and God said, no, John, I got a better plan for you if you just trust me. And you're trusting him. You've been coming now, and you make my heart glad, but you're family now with us. And I want you to know, too, I want you to know that God's talking to you. He's got plans for you. And if you don't see it today, just say, that's another day closer than it's going to come. You open your eyes and just enjoy. Don't let the devil steal your joy. Don't let the devil say, oh, you're not getting what you want today, are you? He's saying, I'm not getting it today, because God's preparing it. And so you got to prepare yourself to be ready. Amen? And I just know that God has answers for the things we're searching for. And I think that's why the young children aren't going to church. See, young children are not looking for a religion. Dominic, am I true? They're not looking for a religion. They're looking for the truth. They want to hear the word of God. They want hope. They want comfort. They want joy in the way that they can understand it. Not watered down, not made for them to be feeling good, but they want the truth. They hunger for the truth, not somewhere where somebody's going to yell at them because of where they went last night, or if they went to the casino, or if they ate meat on Friday. Or they're not looking for people to do that. They're looking for the truth so that they can have Jesus in their life. Amen? That's what they're looking for. And John, you found it. You just hold on to that dream. That just, you're always in our prayers. And want to say hi to Dominic. Nellie, how you doing? Everybody's away, so we're just having a party. Except for Marilyn. She's in the hospital. We don't know why, so we'll keep her in our prayers. We just found out this morning, so we'll pray for that. But everybody else is in New Hampshire, Massachusetts, on vacation and everything. So this is our day.
Good enough you can wing it without a bulletin.
We don't have a bulletin, so I'm a little lost. So I think we'll just get Marilyn, we'll get our maestro, to Joanne, to play, because Marilyn's not here. I don't know what to do. I'm lost.
Oh,
praise the Lord. Joanne, if you would bring us into church. Let's have a beautiful day of church this morning, brothers and sisters. Maestro.
Maestro.
Thank you.
God. God's got a good message today, amen? God is good. Hallelujah. It's why you come to church. And guys, when you go to Texas, have you found a church yet? Have you looked, Dominic, for... Amen. Well, we're glad you're here on a Sunday during Jersey. We had a great Sunday last week at the picnic. Even Flo shot the bow and arrow last week. Let's stand up and pray to our Father today and just have a great day in the Lord. This is a great day for us that we can actually get really close together as a family today and enjoy and share this message with everybody next week. Let's all pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. Thank you. Last week we talked about who was the first person that said there was no God. When I asked that question before the sermon and during the sermon, everybody just was waiting for the answer. And at the end, of course, we know the answer. Satan was the first person to plant a seed in somebody's heart, in somebody's mind, to say, hey, there is no God. And when you realize that and you hear people talking about it, all of a sudden you don't get mad at the person who doesn't believe. Amen? Because you understand where that came from. You understand that nobody can come in their right mind and say, there's no God. Except Satan to put that in, to pull people away from who? So it would be, hallelujah. Now, last week, I have people come to me that don't come to church all the time. You know, I love them. They come and they came. And he came up to me after the sermon and he said, you know, you're right. Because you talked about all the people that had gods. Indians had, all over the world, somebody believes in some higher power. Amen. Somebody for the harvest. Somebody for the water. Somebody for the rain. And he said, you know, I watched the show Vikings. Anybody see that show Vikings about the Vikings in the olden days? And he said, they had their own God. They prayed to another God. Absolutely different than the Christian God. So they had their own God, and I was touched that the message was reaching him and it was causing him to think about God. Amen. And I said, see, people are listening. They're hungry. And so the revelation is hundreds and maybe thousands of religions. Dominic, I don't know. There must be thousands of different religions in the world. Amen. All over the world, they believe in this God or that God's spirits. They believe in light. They believe in animals. They believe in reincarnation. They believe in nirvana. So you just keep coming back until you get it right. Yet, I ask you, when do you ever hear anybody criticize those religions? When do you ever hear anybody say that that's not real? Those religions aren't real. You never do, do you? Nobody condemning their existence. There's only one being attacked. One. How many? One. This one. It's the only one being attacked. You can believe in nirvana. You can believe anything. You can believe in praying to the dogs. And everybody will walk by and say, yeah, that's good. Okay. But the second you say, Jesus. Oh. Hallelujah. Because the truth is hard to accept. I mean, when you turn to God, you have to realize you have to change. Amen. You realize that you have things you have to do in your life. You have to stand up straighter. You have to look up. You have to, you know, control what you say. Hallelujah. The world condemning except the book. Now, if we were ghost hunters here, the place would be full of people. No, darling. Oh, you're a ghost hunter. We got to go see the ghost hunters. Amen. Are you with me? People praying to demons, it's on TV. Fortune tellers, it's on TV. People that people go to, what do they call them, a medium? You go to, oh, I want to talk to my grandma died 300 years ago and I want to talk to her. And people go there because nobody said, that's not real. You know, they allow that. But the second you say God, oh, that's not okay. But I ask you this, who lets the blind lead the blind? Satan, amen? He allows them. So if he won't attack you, if you're doing that, because he said, you're lost. As long as you're lost, I'm going to let you out there in the field. I'm not going to call you. I'm not going to attract attention to you. But Jesus, not okay. You know why? Here's why, brothers and sisters. Because God, who? His word changes things, amen? His word heals the sick. George Marsh heals the sick, amen? You can't doubt that anymore. You can't doubt when you left here last week, you were worried. You come here this week and say, God is really something. And now nobody could ever change your mind, no matter what they say. They can't anymore. Hallelujah. Because God does that. Hallelujah. God gives hope where hope is missing. God gives comfort and love and guidance. Jesus said, I'm going to give you life more abundantly, that our joy would be full. How many want joy full? God says, I'm going to give you that joy full. Hallelujah. Jesus, who? Opens up the door to eternal life. In this book, it talks about the new heaven. In this book, it explains what heaven looks like, what the new world is going to look like. He said he's going to destroy this world, Sergio. A lot of people wonder, how can it be here? But the Bible says in Revelation, he's going to destroy what we think is the world. He's going to remake it again like he did. Amen. We're not going to need the things that we think we need because we have God. And when God remakes the earth again, it's going to be beautiful. And there's in there, I'm going to read that in there, what it says about the world, our promise for tomorrow. But we want a promise today. Amen. How many want a promise for today? So he said, that's nice thinking about eternal life and those songs about, you know, over the grave. But I'll tell you, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. And meditate on this word and you will have good success. When do you have good success? Later or now? Right now? You will prosper. He will make your way to prosper. How many want to prosper later? You want to prosper now. Amen. The book says you will prosper now. Amen? Now, the promise for today. We said, on earth as it is in heaven. Who gave us that prayer, Mary? Jesus taught us that prayer. And if Jesus said we can have on earth as it is in heaven, I believe it. I believe that the closer you walk with God, the closer you walk, the storms of life that come against you will not hit you like other people. They won't attack. They won't make you go on your knees because God will lift you up. Every time you fall, he will lift you up. I believe the word of God can do that. Anybody else? I believe the word of God can heal you. I believe the word of God can heal your family. I believe that if you pray for somebody, even if they don't know you're praying, God hears. And I believe that something's happening to that prayer. And that's what the word of God. Say that with me. The word of God. But we got victory over the grave. We have victory over evil. The promise of tomorrow. No other religion talks about like that. Miss Pat, to be reunited with those that we lost. The Bible tells us we're going to be reunited with those that we lost. It's going to tell us that we will know. We know that because Lazarus, when he went to Abraham's bosom, he was laying there in paradise, and his boss, the guy, his ruler, his master died and was on the other side of the abyss, and he looked over and he saw Lazarus, amen? And he knew Lazarus. So the Bible tells us we're going to know the people that are there. We're going to see the people that are there. So our promise in this book is to be at that eternal life with those that we love, that we don't see anymore. Amen? That's another promise from God. Reunited with the ones that we love. And the Word of God shares this promise with us to read, to study, and to believe. Are you with me? Amen? Dale, people are hungry for this. I see it on TV all the time. I saw it on the news again this morning. I read it on AOL. The millennials, they're not going to church. People say the numbers in people at the churches are dropping. That's because they're not looking for a religion. That's what I said. That's what I'm trying to say. They're not looking for a religion. They're looking for God. They're looking for the truth. They don't want an answer. Well, it's a mystery. They won't accept that answer. They don't want to know, well, you know, that's just the way it is. They want the truth. And if you bring young folks in and you give them the truth, they might not like the truth, amen? They might not like to hear what you have to say today, but they'll understand that it is the truth and that the Word of God accepts all people. How many people? All people. And the Word of God loves all people. How many people? All people. It doesn't mean that you can walk in here as a sinner and say, I can do anything I want to do because God loves me. No, that doesn't mean that. Or you can live a life of sin and say, well, I can do what I want because God loves me. No, here's what happens. When you come to God and you search for him, you no longer desire to do those things. And if you do those things, you pray to God every night, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. You know who I am. Because God created us all individually. And he knows who you are. Sergio, he knows you. So you go to God and pray at night, Lord, help me for who I am. Help me, Lord, to see. Help me, Lord, to reach. Help me, Lord, to stand up. I know that I'm falling short somewhere, Lord, and I need your help. And every day he will lift you up. But if you throw yourself down, he will let you stay there. Amen? So it just...
It's just what the world needs. That's why this church is important to me and important to you and important to this city and important to this, because we're going to give them the Word of God. Amen? That's what makes this church different. I've heard it all the time, and I accept that now, Sergio. People that come here say, this church is different. I say, yeah. Because we don't have rules and regulations. I don't want to know how much you make a year. I don't want to know how much you make a week. I don't want to know that you went to the casino or if you go to whatever you do. I don't want to know. I just want you to know God and love God and let God lead you. All I want to do is feed you. I want to bring you to the water, bring you to the food, and then as a family, we stay together. I don't care. I don't need you to join this. I don't need you to write your name on a piece of paper saying you joined this church. I want you to come here because God brought you here and that your heart is right to be here. And if I know that God brought you here, this is where we're going to build our home. Amen. We have Elder Pat. She's here because God brought her here. Amen. She loves me. She loved me 20 years ago, but that's not why she's here. She's here because God brought her here, and we are blessed to have an elder here in the church. Amen. We had some folks that come here once in a while, and they come with their family and their friends, and then they don't come for a while. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you about the Word of God. People listen. When you say something, they listen. Just the other day, I was talking to somebody. We were sitting at the dinner table. It was at Brenda's house, Gladys. And somebody mentioned atheists. Oh, and this person who doesn't come here very often looked at me and said, I know. I said, that. He said, I know, Pastor Larry, atheism. He said, that's the religion of unbelief. Anybody ever hear that outside this church? I don't think so. I never heard that. I believe God showed me that. And I looked at him and I said, you know, Mike, you do pay attention, don't you? He said, you betcha I do. He might not be here every Sunday. He goes to visit his mother sometimes. She's in a nursing home. I believe that she's in a nursing home, Gladys, or is she just here? But I'm just telling you, here's a man who doesn't go to church. He doesn't. He won't probably go to church the only time he's been here. But he listened to what we said because we said something he understood. Atheism is simply a religion of unbelief. And there's a lot of ministers for that religion. Amen? A lot of ministers. Remember that, Sergio. That they think that they don't have a religion, but they're preaching exactly what they hate in other people. They say so perfectly that there's no God, there can never be a God, it's a fairy tale. I said, well, you're a really good minister for that religion of yours. But we have something else. We have, Nellie, the Word of God that backs us up. Amen? Hallelujah. People listen. They're hungry to learn. Our little granddaughter, Madison, came here for 3 weeks, and we talked a little Bible about her, and she was hungry to learn. I should be on her every week just talking to her a little bit about God. I should not let that go, because she called up, how do I know the God? How do I know it's the right God? What happens? And you see what? She's hungry, amen? She's hungry, and that's what children, she's 11 years old, so don't tell me that I can't get millennials in here and start talking to them about things that affect their life, amen? Not in judgmental ways, but in the truth. We don't accept all things here, amen? God accepts everybody, but we don't accept all things. There's one book. There's one God. One belief, amen? We don't accept anybody else's beliefs. They come here to learn this belief. We don't have them come here so we can learn their belief, amen? They come here to learn this, amen? And this is what they want. They hunger for truth. Are you with me? It's got to be according to God. God's ways, not man's ways. But I tell you, people listen. They remember. And then we wait for the season of harvest. It comes to those who wait on the Lord. Amen? Amen, church? All right. Good job. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 27. Teach me your ways, O Lord. And lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me. The Bible is telling us those are real people, amen? Your enemies, how many have enemies? I mean, you know you got people coming against you. It might not be in the way you see it as in war, but you have people coming against you, adversaries. How many people have adversaries? How many? You have them, amen? They're not make-believe. They're real people. Attacks, mockers, doubters. He said, don't deliver me to those doubters, Lord, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breath of violence. And listen to this one line in this psalm, and I'll tell you that if you're truthful to yourself, you'll say, this is you. This is those who walk with the Lord. I would have lost heart unless I had believed. Amen. I would have lost heart unless I had believed. He's saying there, I would have given up. If I didn't know God when I lost my job, I would have given up. If I didn't know God when I turned back to the booze, I would have given up. If I didn't know God when my wife left me, I would have given up. But the fact that I know God and I love God and I trust God, he said that right here. I would have lost heart unless I had believed. And now listen to the next two lines, because we're talking about today. Amen. What are we talking about? Today. That I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. See that, Jim? He's saying you're going to see it here now. The future we're going to read about, so beautiful, but you're going to see it here now in the land of the living. And here's something. There's a couple of words in the Bible that people just, those are the hardest words in the Bible not to understand, brothers and sisters. But, you know, God's got three or four words in this book that just, you just say, one of them is in the Lord's Prayer. Anybody know what the word is in the Lord's Prayer that's so hard to comprehend? Forgive. So all these wonderful things I do for God. And then he says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those others. Ooh, okay. That's when we slow down. There's another word right here. Wait. How many like to wait? Anybody? George, you're a bow hunter. How many hours have you waited for a deer to come? You wait? And you know that you got to wait, right? You go in the woods, you sit down in the tree, he just doesn't walk by and say, here I am. No, you got to wait. And you want the biggest deer, you got to have what? You got to wait longer. You might see five or six deer. Oh, there's a nice little buck. There's a couple of doe. No, that's not the one I want. What do you got to do, George? Wait. You got to wait. Patience. It's in the book. This book, Patience. You guys are going through a lot with everything, and you know, you got to have the patience. I don't want to speak for you, but I bet that line, I would have lost heart unless I had believed. And some of the things you've been through in the last couple of years, you would have lost heart. If you didn't have God, you would have lost heart. Amen? See, this is what the kids want. This is what people want to hear, the truth. They want to hear good news. They don't want to be preached to. They want to learn. Amen? Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen your heart. And it says, wait, I say, on the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I'm going to read one more, and then we're going to... I just want to get to this, because it's so beautiful. The Bible says, Sergio, and this is the beautiful parts about God. It just takes the pressure off of wanting to know. Like I said a couple of weeks ago, he said the end times, the Bible says, when we least expect it. So once I told you, once I heard that, and so I understand now that the hurricanes and the tornadoes and the earthquakes, they don't move me anymore. Or people in wars, that don't move me anymore because I expect to see it. When the Bible says the end times are when we least expect it, when you don't expect it, that's what the book says. So when you learn stuff, when you learn things that just like that, it changes you. You stop. And you're worried about the end time. And you, anybody ever worried about heaven looks like, and you try to wonder what paradise looks like, and you're thinking, and here's what the Bible says, and it says in 1 Corinthians, it says this. This is so beautiful. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered in the hearts of man. In other words, nothing you have thought about, nothing you have envisioned, nothing, right, Elder Pat? Nothing has that entered in the heart of man. The things which God has prepared for those who love him. You can't imagine. And you can make it as beautiful in your imagination about what we're going to have and where we're going to be. And God's laughing at you in a way. And that beautiful laugh, like you are with your little kid when he's all excited about getting to the playground. You know, it's like he's laughing. He said, you just keep imagining. But the word of God says, you can't. You can't. You've never heard the beauty. Amen. And I was going to read one more thing, just because it's just so beautiful. And it's in the book of Isaiah. Do you read Isaiah much? Anybody, the book of Isaiah? He's a prophet. The man was just amazing. Just a man of God. It's a book, Pat, that you don't read front to back. You don't read the whole book one time. You read a few passages in Isaiah. And then you read the study book. And you, like in our Bible, you study. You start to study it. Because Isaiah has got so much food. It's like sitting at him going to a restaurant, and on one table is filet mignon, then you got lobster, and then you got Alaskan king crab, and you got all the desserts, and you got all your favorite food, and you walk in and you can only eat one meal. How many meals? And you sit there and you look at that and saying,
But I want that. Amen? I want the lobster after the... The book of Isaiah, brothers and sisters, if I can get you excited about that, is just like that, Gene. It's like everything. There's lessons. There's guidance. There's... It's everything is in that book. And when you start to read it, Sergio, if you read just a little bit and then go to your study book and start to study it and deeper, do you get an understanding of that and then you move on. But I just wanted to share this with you in the book of Isaiah, what God showed him, hallelujah, in the days to come. In the days to come. And when? The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, the young one shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's what it's going to be like. So beautiful. So, and there's more, and I'll read it next week. I want you all to come back. I don't want to give you too much food today, amen? But I want you to just envision that, if you would. Envision these things that you could not believe. The wolf shall love the wolf and the lamb shall dwell together. The leopard shall lie down with the goat. Hallelujah. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth, the what? Shall be full of knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. These are our promises. Our promises. Our promises with God. This is the future. This is why we follow Him and we want to learn more about Him. Because we have these things today in our lives. He's going to lift us up and show you. I already read that. Well, today, He's got it for today, that your joy may be full. But these are the promises of this book. Amen. Other religions, the thousands of religions, they have promises. They have things that they talk about. They share, but they're not this, not like this, nothing like this, the perfection of God, amen. We talked last week about how He created this, amen. We got through that all last week. We understand how He created it perfectly, and now the Bible tells us how He's going to do the next step with us, amen. The Spirit of God is going to do that. I mean, it's just so powerful. Isn't that beautiful to hear that together? Hallelujah. That's our promise. That's why coming to church and hearing His Word and reading His Word is important. That's why, folks, brothers and sisters, going home and reading this book at home. Sometimes at 9 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock, or you wake up at 2 in the morning and you read a little bit. It gives you comfort. It gives you peace. You start reading from Our Father. Where is He? In heaven. You start reading that. You open up and you start reading. Hallelujah. This is so beautiful. This is, and next thing you know, you're sleeping. How many people know you go to sleep at church? Amen. Why do you go to sleep at church? Because you're at peace. You're at peace. I mean, you're not, oh, you're supposed, no. I mean, some churches will wake you up and make you leave. Amen. I've read that. If somebody's sleeping, hey, you need to leave. And don't come back. No, I've heard it. Don't be picking on her. Who did? Oh, that thing?
Yeah, one of the deacons goes and pops
them. Really? You tell I didn't go to church a lot when I was a young kid. Flo, I think I found your job. I've been trying to think of something for Flora, trying to give her a job, because when you have a job in the church, a responsibility, all of a sudden everything else comes into focus. Maybe that'll be hers. Hallelujah. People say you get offended if they fall asleep. I said, you know, they come here and they get to peace. They came to, you know, God, here's what God saw. God saw you get up on a Sunday morning and get dressed, put your clothes on, get your dress, get in the car and come. He saw the sacrifice. He saw a beautiful day like today where you could have stayed in bed, you could have went to the park, you could have went to the beach, you could have, and He said, no, God saw you come here. You think He knows
you, amen. He knows you. He knows your habits. He's praying and we're praying that you get excited about the word, but he knows your habits. So the fact that you got up and came here is a victory, amen. A victory for you, a sacrifice, and a victory for your church, amen. That you thought enough of not taking the day off, amen. And there's nothing wrong with taking the day off, please. You know, that's okay. So let's close. We face life, we face happiness, we face sadness, and we face troubles. Amen? The miracle of God. We pray. Who prays? We pray always that God protects us. Sometimes from ourselves and from our choices. How many have ever made a choice that you took back and say, boy, why did I do that? Hallelujah. We made the choices. Amen? Our choices. We pray always for each other. We pray as a family, lifting up each other, sometimes holding up each other, knowing it is that love from God, the greatest gift from God that brings the healing, that brings that peace that surpasses our understanding. I read that years ago, and that's one of the scriptures that stays with me. We have peace that surpasses our understanding. We don't know why we have peace. We don't understand why we have peace. Other people around us are in turmoil. They're looking at us. Why? And because God gave you that peace that surpasses our own understanding. That the world doesn't understand that. That we lift one another. We lift one another with that same comfort. Hallelujah. Jackie went to the doctor on Monday. Amen, Jackie. Had a little worry. She had a little thing. You know, some people, doctors try to do, and they do great things. How many know doctors do great things? That's what they're there for. But sometimes they start with the test, and all of a sudden you're worried. Jackie, I know you were worried. Greg, I don't have to know. I know you were worried. She called, and she said, you know, we're going to have a thing. And on Thursday, it was like the world lifted up from you. Now, you got to go through an operation, but the operation is to repair something, not... in order so you don't lose feeling in your left arm, so that you're going to be healthy. So the operation is to cure something that's wrong in your body, not to take something out. There's no disease. The little growths are all benign. Amen. Now, hallelujah. And she's not worried about him. You know, amen. That's God too. Amen. Because without knowing God, like we just read before, amen, you might want to give up. But they don't anymore. You don't anymore now because you face this. And nobody wants to face what she has to go through, but she's going with an attitude of healing already. Amen. She's going with an attitude of strength. And guess who that gives strength to? Greg. Amen. So we pray for that. Amen. Are you with me? We pray and we lift each other up like we did for George last week. Now we believe with that faith for tomorrow. To be reunited with our loved ones. I know that we talk about it. I talk about it all. I know my bride talks about her mama. I talk about my dad all of my mom. And someday I can't wait to see them. But I know that not today, Lord. You know, be your will, Lord, because there's so much I want to do for God in my life here. Hallelujah. We believe for that new family. That's why we come to church. We believe for a new family. This is what the important part is. Where God can send helpers in this life. What life? This life, Jim. Send helpers coming together. And this is exactly what God would say. People who we don't know today, who we did not know yesterday, coming to our help tomorrow. People that you didn't know yesterday, you come to church, you get a new family, and all of a sudden somebody's there tomorrow that you didn't expect to help you. Amen? The family of God and the promise of God. Give them praise, church. That's your God.